Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
At Stella Blue Coffee, we believe good coffee is one of life's non-negotiables. Stop drinking those boring, tasteless, big coffee beans and turn to Stella Blue. Remember, your mornings are sacred. It's time to start treating them that way. Not only are Stella Blue Coffee's premium beans sourced from the most coffee-rich geographies on Earth, but I approve of them, which is obviously more important. Stella Blue Coffee's delicious roasts are available in cold brew, pods, ground, and whole bean formats to seamlessly fit into your morning coffee routine. And every bag sold helps save dogs. Stella Blue Coffee, it's time to take back your mornings. Shop now at StellaBlueCoffee.com or Amazon.
Reveille, reveille, reveille. It's a Friday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have five rounds of the magazine. Round number one, update the old safety brief because a man contracted a new antibiotic-resistant super gonorrhea strain after having sex on the international trip.
Oh, that's the kind you want to get, though. You don't want plain old boring gonorrhea.
You don't want boring-ass gonorrhea.
I got platinum gonorrhea once.
Oh.
And I didn't. Just
be good. Just round regular. Number two, 23-year-old Kate didn't have super gonorrhea, but if she was down at the shore with old Bob Libmans and he walked in, what do you think she would do? I just came across this story and I thought it was fascinating. I mean, life in the Wild West was legitimately wild. Like, if I thinking about going
imagine
to
that.
Any time in American history, going back to Wild West had to be one of the craziest easily. Like, what's going on back there? Round number three, 10th Mountain Commander says that leaders need to leave soldiers alone after hours. And he says it in such a matter-of-fact way, it's almost like it's common fucking sense. Round number
you
four,
know how he said it? You don't need to text your soldiers. Do-do-do. Commanders, leave those troops alone. Do-do-do. No after hours calls for working parties. I can't tell if Jeff's is frozen or
freezing. No, he's frozen again, but that was too good. That was too good. We have to leave this
Damn it.
To leave this in.
Halfway
Kate,
through,
you and I might have to just do this show without him. I don't know.
Halfway through, I was like, I can't
no,
tell
but I was
if
like,
he
keep
hates
going.
This so much. I've literally killed him. Or if he, but yeah, okay, that's a hit right there. Round number
hey,
four.
Commanders,
round number four,
leave your soldiers alone.
Leave those troops alone. Round number four, and maybe the most smoke pit inspired conversation of all time. We're going to talk about how Amazon wants your dead relatives to be able to speak to you. Is this an OPSEC issue? I don't know if you have any relatives you'd like to chat with from
know
beyond
how
the
I feel,
grave.
But we'll get into it.
Round number five. I hope you're feeling smart today. We got some ZBT Jeopardy, my friends.
We haven't done that in a bit.
Chat is still
I
frozen.
Really like yeah, it's all right. We'll get him back.
I say we keep on rolling with it. He's probably grabbing some whistle pig right now is what he's doing. Nick, what do you think? Should we keep rolling or should we wait for the old lad?
Hey, you can keep rolling. We'll give him some time, but I think we can keep rolling with it. You can pick it
all
up.
Right. Round number one, an Austrian man who had sex abroad caught a new strain of super gonorrhea that is resistant to most antibiotics commonly used to treat the infection, scientists said. This is the second time a super gonorrhea strain has been detected. Another was found in 2018 in multiple countries. The term super gonorrhea refers to a bug that has a high level of resistance to recommended treatments. If multi-drug resistant strains of gonorrhea keep spreading, many cases of the STD might become untreatable. And this is like, this is very bad, especially for the Navy. I have to say, most cases of gonorrhea don't produce symptoms, but can cause serious complications such as infertility. And if it's not possible to treat the infection, symptoms include discharge and pain when a person pees and painful testicles or irregular vaginal bleeding. Folks, straight up, not a good time. Once you catch that, you're probably not having sex again.
I'm straight up not having a good time.
Yeah. The unidentified man in his 50s. See these damn boomers going around. Blaming us for not being able to buy a house. Meanwhile, they're out getting super gonorrhea. He had condomless sex with a female sex worker in Cambodia in April. 5 days later, he experienced pain while peeing and had discharge coming out of his penis.
I mean, what do you think's going to happen if you are having intercourse with a sex worker and you don't wear protection? What's the end result? You're just hoping a prayer?
Yeah, that is not great.
You know, maybe it's my naivete, but at this point, and this all obviously changed certainly with COVID the last 2 years, but maybe I just haven't given enough thought to it. But I feel like we had figured out all of the illnesses, all of the sicknesses. So the fact that they're still out there finding new things,
more
is
things.
Impressive. Yeah, but it also makes me a little scared that no matter what.
Why are you scared, Cons? What are you doing? Well, because there's flying over to Cambodia.
No, I'm saying in general, just illnesses, new illnesses that are popping up. But I guess everything, like, I don't know. I'm gonna stop talking because I don't want to sound dumber than I've already sounded. So I'll just leave it at that.
Fair enough.
Okay, I'm back up. My internet's being crazy.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
All right, let's get going with round number one. Before we do that, Kate, you're down at the shore.
Yeah.
I got to say, over the couple years that I've been out of the Marines, I guess that's about 10 years now, maybe a little bit longer, about 10, exactly. So I've been out for about 10 years. Having friends outside of the military and having friends in this section of my life, one thing that I've noticed, when my friends now are happy, I am so happy. Like when Cod was in France and smiling with his new wife and eating delicious food, I was fucking stoked for him.
Yeah.
When Kate has this mouth open, looking up at the camera, tongue flat, jaw a little bit off to the side, I'm like, my girl is happy as fuck, and I'm happy. It's so good to see you in those stories. Just be happy.
Dude, I had the best day yesterday. Pat ended up renting a car and being able to make it down. And so the baby went down for a nap. Pat was like, I'll be there in an hour. And I was like, great. By the time you get back, I'm going to be out at the bars. You got him the rest of the day. The girls are picking me up in the golf cart. There was like a little beep, beep outside. I came running out and my cousins were all crammed into the golf cart. And we just did. It was a ladies only day.
And I loved it because all the different tags were all like something Mannion. Like you could tell that's the cousin squad.
It was the cousin squad. And we're all like everybody had everybody else watching the kids. And we just did a bar crawl on this golf cart. We had a DD. We were very safe. But we just hit up a ton of our old favorite bars and I was ripping shots. I maybe had a couple heaters.
And I did you a favor, Kate, because I didn't even show McCartney. There was one Instagram story where he is smoking heaters. I don't know if you know this, Cons, but when McCartney sees Kate smoking cigs.
Cigaretting.
Yeah, usually, no, I remember.
McCartney will call on FaceTime and give Kate the woofer.
And tell me they're disappointed in me. But I just had the best time. There was no drama, just out being goofy, I was like laughing so hard. I had tears in my eyes. And
on as far as you've been down at the shore for, I guess this is day 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Where are we on you getting your favorite sandwich in the world?
Oh, my pork roll, egg, and cheese?
No. Your favorite beach sandwich.
Oh, more mayonnaise with American cheese on bread. Right, yeah. Yes. It actually hasn't been hot enough for that yet. It's been breezy and cool. And for those who don't know, the best sandwich in the world, trust me, don't knock it till you try it. Just plain white bread, toast it a little bit, smother both sides in mayonnaise, and then put white American cheese, like 5 or 6 pieces in the middle, cut it into triangles, sailboats, wrap it up in foil, leave it on your beach chair in the hot sun, go swimming. Get out of the ocean, open that thing up, and my God, it's salty, it's wet, it's moist. The cheese is delicious.
Kate, have
honest
you ever
to God,
met anybody
I'd rather
else
have a strain
who
of
likes
super gonorrhea than that?
Yeah. Speaking of, we're on to that. What can I say one more thing about yesterday?
Sure. Yeah.
Of course.
We started going. We went out at noon. I'm hitting the booze town. Then I had a bridal shower. I got straight home. Changed into another pair of jeans. I was a little went to the bridal shower, kept drinking.
What was that about with the jeans? Like, why are you acting like that's the most bizarre thing anybody?
It was a bridal shower. Everyone was getting dressed up, and I like kind of forgot. I just changed into another like whatever outfit. Whatever. That's neither here nor there. I go to the bridal shower. I'm still drinking some wine. I go out to the bars afterwards because then it morphed into a bachelorette party. I kept going till midnight. I went noon to midnight, my friends.
Whoa.
And I still had perfect diction. I wasn't slurring. Your girl, the old girl still got it. I'll tell you that.
What was the status of your pocketbook?
It was rough. I didn't do the skip it dance with it, though. I'll say this, too. The last bar wasn't playing any music. So me and my cousin started a doo-wop band. Every time you walked to the bathroom, we were like that doo-wop band that you see at Disney. If you say goodbye.
Be too long.
That's why my voice is gone. I was doo-wop until midnight last night. You guys don't even know. Round number one, gonorrhea. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Okay. An Austrian man who had sex abroad caught a new strain of super gonorrhea that is resistant to most antibiotics commonly used to treat the infection. This is the second time a super gonorrhea strain has been detected. Another was found in 2018 in multiple countries. The term super gonorrhea refers to gonorrhea that is fucking awesome.
Right.
It's way cooler than the other gonorrhea.
It's actually a superpower. It's one of the littlest baby on The Incredibles has.
It can fly. It has a small cape. It flies from penis to penis. Mm-hmm. The term super gonorrhea refers to a bug that has high levels of resistance. So the normal stuff that you would be given if you're in the Navy and you're at sick call, that ain't working on you.
The peanut butter shot is what it would be.
The peanut butter shot, mm-hmm. no longer doing it for you. If multi-drug resistant strains of gonorrhea keep spreading, many cases of the STD might become untreatable. So there's this whole big study about it, but this has the possibility to morph into like the COVID of dicks, I feel like. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The COVID of urethra.
Mm-hmm.
The COVID of... is the Magellan a part of the penis? I'm trying to think about the penis part.
The Magellan? Like Ferdinand, that explorer?
I'm just saying, the epididymis. I'm just trying to show my knowledge.
Epidermis?
No, if you don't know what an epididymis is.
Anyway.
What?
Most cases of gonorrhea don't produce symptoms. Oh my God, I hate you guys so much. But can cause serious complications such as infertility.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not possible to treat the infection, symptoms include discharge and pain when a person pees and painful testicles or irregular vaginal bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up, not a good time. Mm-mm. I remember in high school, we each got assigned an STD we had to make a rap about. And mine was gonorrhea.
How did it go?
I only remember gonorrhea is an STD. It causes burning when you pee. Bloody discharge, itchy smell. This STD sure feels like hell. Gonorrhea.
I mean, that's legitimately kind of fire. Like, if you should play that in health classes.
They should.
I mean, that's a better way to remember it than reading from a boring old textbook, right?
I got an A.
I think that would keep you away from, if you're going to Cambodia, like sleeping with sex workers. I think that would keep you away if you're going to do that type of thing.
Which is what this gentleman did who got the super gonorrhea. An unidentified man in his 50s had condomless sex with a female sex worker in Cambodia in April. If you uncle and he's on Facebook posting photos in Cambodia or Thailand and he's alone, your super uncle's gonorrhea. A fucking creep and he's got super gonorrhea. I mean, tell you that much.
To each their own, you know, whatever. Again, we talked about it last episode. Whatever you want to do in your free time is up to you as an adult. But if you are going to Cambodia and engaging in intercourse with a sex worker and not using protection, I think you kind of get what you deserve, right?
Buddy, I wouldn't go to fucking IHOP and have sex with somebody without a condom on, much less Cambodia. Like, one of my old corporals, he went to Djibouti, Africa, whenever the war on terror first really kicked off and they were still sending a bunch of troops down there. He went there and it was basically like a peacekeeping mission where you'd occasionally have to go check people at the gate. But other than that, they didn't do stuff. And they were able to go out in town. He slept with sex workers in fucking Djibouti, Africa.
Like, what
you doing, bro?
Maybe this
without
is
a condom. Without a condom.
Like, that's just stupid. That's just so stupid. And also, I don't know if this is anything, but the name Djibouti just strikes fear in me. Like, that's just not a place you want to screw around. It just seems like bad things are happening.
Djibouti is nice. Like, the pictures from there, like, the Djibouti, it is beautiful. Like, there's lots of like if you wanted to go do shit there, like Djibouti is great. Anywhere you're going in the world without a condom is insane. Like, yeah. It's insane. But at the time, Djibouti's gotten a lot of things under control. At the time, their HIV rate was like 50%. It was insane because it was a culture where they viewed that the only way of getting rid of HIV was to rape someone without HIV. So that's how it really spread like wildfire in a lot of like rural areas in Africa, is because of that type of view.
Like, I never knew that.
Jesus.
Yeah. Interesting.
Nuts.
Oh my God. Well, holy buzzkill, Batman.
Yeah, seriously.
Maybe I'm still riding high off my golf cart shooters yesterday.
Anyways, if you're going on a deployment, and used to be, they would tell you about all the different STDs that you would go as like a safety precaution. And I've actually been doing that with my kids. I mentioned it on Podfathers, but I want to run it by you guys as the same thing for like military leadership or your junior troops. So my oldest is 17 and starting to drive and all that stuff. But I know in a year she's going to be going off to college. Because of that, I have been preparing mentally how to give her safety briefs without actually giving her safety briefs, because I'm still her dad and she won't give a shit what I say. So one of the things that I've been doing, if she has to go to work at like Six Flags or whatever, I will, if I have like two glasses of wine, I'll be like, babe, you need to ask mom because I've had two glasses of wine. I can't drive. Or if I'm in the pool and she's like, can you take me to Target real quick? I can. I've had like a beer and a half. So she looks at me, knows how long I've been drinking. I'm 200 pounds. And she's like, well, damn, if my dad doesn't feel comfortable driving with two glasses of wine, surely I shouldn't be, right?
You That's won't be pretty, able to drive after logic. This pot with the whistle pig.
Exactly.
So you got to just stay home now the rest of the day and chill.
That's good reverse psychology, right?
Yeah, to let them see you make it. Well, just to let your kids see you making good decisions. Let your
right, you're leading from the front, which I think is one of the most effective forms of leadership. So, you know, because think about how many shows did we watch growing up, like sitcoms where Saved by the Bell, they had an episode about, you know, drinking and driving, and that sticks in your brain more than maybe something your parents told you.
There was one where one of the college or with the high school students at Saved by the Bell died, and I was gutted about it.
Oh, you're gutted about it. So if you're a commander, when you leave the ship, make sure you have condoms just dangling out of your pockets for all to see. And so they point out, sir, you have something hanging in your pocket. Oh my goodness. I guess it's this condom that I was going to use to fuck the Cambodian sex worker with safely.
If you want to take it a step further, just always be wearing one.
Always have a condom on. Always. Don't take it off. Don't ever take it off.
It's like you're, and people are like, hey, I get this all the time. Hey, chaps, I can't keep my condom on whenever I'm not fully erect. You wrap the top around the balls. That's all you got to do. You just take the condom, stretch it in, and then it's like a nice little pouch. And then that's all you have to do. It's really brainless, honestly.
Put your whole penis in there. 5 days later, this guy, this 50-year-old guy, he experienced pain while peeing and had discharge coming out of his penis.
I think we're good on this story, Kate. I don't think
we don't need to go into more.
And his penis tip looked like the, you know, those little things that you write icing with icing. You squeeze it out the top.
Oh, yeah. Like an icing fucking bag.
Yeah. It was like an icing bag of gonorrhea.
Okay.
Let's move on to round number two. What do we got here, Kate?
Okay, round number two, Bob Lemons. I'll be honest with you, I never heard of the guy. I have to say about that. Bob Lemons, but I'm looking at this picture of him. He looks like a fucking badass.
He looks like an absolute wild card.
Bob Lemons was one of the greatest Mustangers of all times. He became a legend in his day by perfecting his unique method of catching wild Mustang horses. And in the military, a Mustang is if you're enlisted and then you go officer.
Good connection.
Why is that?
Because you're wild, but then you become tamed. You become an officer. You become boring. You become bland. You used to be wild and free. Anyway, Robert Lemons was born a slave in Lockport, Caldwell County, Texas in 1848. He moved to Dimmit County, Texas, then sparsely uninhabited land overrun by wild horses. Lemons gained his freedom at the end of the Civil War at age 17. He found employment with Duncan Lemons, a man who taught him about horses and gave Robert the surname Lemons. Robert Lemons farmed, hauled supplies, and went on cattle drives for Duncan Lemons. No other cowboy equaled Lemons in capturing Mustangs, which were in high demand for roundups during the cattle drive era of the 1870s and 1880s. He usually worked alone, totally isolating himself from humans to gain a Mustang herd's trust and thereby infiltrate the herd.
That sentence right there is one of the most badass things I think I've heard in a long time.
Yeah.
The idea that you can go out just by yourself in Wild West Texas and be like, you know what? I'm just going to fucking live with these horses until they trust me. And then the way that he gains the horse's trust is insane. I think it's like the next Lion King.
Yeah, he then uprooted the herd hierarchy by mounting the lead stallion and then taking control of the herd, which followed him into a pen on a nearby ranch. So he,
I think you're watching that from afar. You give this guy a good old fashioned sucking, like you just do.
Anybody. It doesn't matter who you are.
It doesn't matter.
If you
get a wild steed, you're getting a sucking, my friend.
If you witness someone doing that, leaping on the head stallion, and then that, yes.
I just think our frame
had a drop to your knees right then and there.
Our frame of reference is completely different, Chaps, right? So, like, clearly, like, we think this is unbelievable, but I think back then that was just what you did.
No, they didn't, it wasn't. Like, the story goes on to say it wasn't. Like, he was the most prolific one that was able to do it, and that's how he established this huge ranching system across Texas. He was the best at it, and a lot of other people couldn't do it.
I do think some people, like, not everybody has it, but, like, some people do have this uncanny way of connecting with animals. Like, Chaps, you probably have it as a dog handler. Like, but I mean, I don't think I have it. Spork doesn't give a shit about me.
Spork hates you.
Man. Spork. No, but, like, I do think people have this certain thing. Grizzly Man had it till he got eaten by a grizzly, you know?
There's a dude at Lackland's dog training school named Doc Hilliard. I've talked about him before. But any animal that would be injured at the dog training fields or anything like that, he almost instantly could form a bond. And I'm very good with animals, too. Like, but he was on a different level, like where he would get a squirrel. And next thing you know, the squirrel would like come up to him all the time. And he'd have like little peanuts and give it to him. And they'd sit like in his pocket. Any of the animals that he was around, he would even go to like SeaWorld. And if they were having difficulties with one of their dolphins, he would like figure out the behavioral issue with the dog. His name was Doc Hilliard. He had his.
Why do you think that is, Chaps, that some people have that? Do you think it's a particular scent? Do you think it's a particular demeanor? What is it about a person that they can just connect with those animals?
I think there's a particular level of calmness because a lot, like most animals, can instinctually fear fear. So like that was a big part of dog training. If you weren't scared walking into a kennel, most of the dogs would respect you and be fine. If you act scared amongst some of these dogs that were very alpha, you were going to get rolled and it was going to be quick. They could pick up on how you were acting. But I think it's just like knowing animal psychology and knowing psychology in general is really, really helpful in that regard. Like knowing how to manipulate an animal's drives and make them go. Like that's how being a good dog trainer, you just manipulate prey drive or play drive. And once you figure out how to do that, you can essentially do it with any animal depending on what their natural drives are.
Yeah.
Are there some animals though that no matter what you do, who you are, cannot do that with? Or do you think it's
this
true
is why I don't
animal?
Get reptile people.
Yeah, I think
I don't get snake people.
I
They're
do
not.
Think some snake people will weird. Say they can tell when a snake's getting upset. I cannot. That's one that I can't. But yeah. Lions and big cats are notoriously very difficult to train. You think that you have them trained, the next thing you know, you're featured on Barstool Sports because you got your face eaten off. Like yeah. Those are difficult. But the domestication process is fascinating too. And that's what this guy did so well. Like he taking these wild horses, usually it takes several generations to domesticate an animal. Like if you're going to have a fox, for instance, you can bring in one fox and that fox might be docile. By and large, the fox community does not make good pets because they haven't
long
been
time stoolies in the fox community.
Right. They haven't been domesticated long enough. So if you give them time and you continue to do it throughout generations, then you could domesticate an animal. He did it quicker, which I think is incredibly impressive. Yeah.
By 1870, at age 22, he had a small fortune of $1,000 for gathering the wild Mustangs. He bought his own ranch, learned how to read and write. 11 years later, he married Barbarita Rosales in 1881. The couple had 8 children. During his life, Robert Lemons amassed 1,200 acres of land and impressive holdings of horses and cattle. With his own financial security achieved, Robert and Barbarita Lemons became well-known as people who helped their neighbors during the Great Depression. He died at the ripe old age of 99 years old. And when you look, he was a slave. And this is what he did and became. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty
good for him.
And do this with only one buddy teaching him how, or one guy teaching him how to do it. And then you don't have YouTube. Like there's a lot of things that
yeah,
I
yeah, how do you do
like,
it without YouTube?
I feel like I could figure out with YouTube. Like I've fixed some cars, I've fixed some plumbing issues. But if you're talking about going out to Wild West Texas and being like, you know what, I'm going to domesticate these huge ass wild Mustangs. And these aren't nice ponies. This is not fucking little Sebastian bite, that we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Little Snickers. Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's crazy too. It's another thing I think we take for granted. We all just grew up, and at some point when you're younger, you learn to read and write. It's crazy that there were adults that had no idea how to do any of that. That was considered, you know, and obviously a skill that wasn't a given like it is now. So that's kind of what I was saying with him. The fact that he went out and he was okay with being in the wild. I think that part was probably common, where you just kind of went and did things because you had to.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think that the world literacy rate has gone up a ton, but it's still remarkable at how many people in the world aren't literate.
Oh, in Afghanistan, almost nobody could read or write. It was crazy. Well, at least where we were. Friendly reminder. Because
15% doesn't sound that much. But when you talk about 15% of the world, that's a shit ton of people that are still illiterate.
Yes, yes.
Friendly reminder, I once stayed on Assateague Island where the wild horses are. Mm-hmm. And I got very drunk and I fell asleep outside and I got bitten by so many mosquitoes. It looked like I had shingles and I couldn't function.
But this is everywhere. You were completely covered, right? Like,
oh, yes. They went into my britches.
Oh, my goodness.
It was also a nightmare.
I hear wild horses. I immediately think of Mark Wahlberg and Reese Witherspoon on a roller coaster.
Oh.
That might be a deep cut. I don't know. There will definitely be some people who might get that reference.
But at night, I could hear their hooves clooping around. Terrifying. So big shout out to him. That's an impressive life, my friends.
It sure is. Let's move on to round number three. That's going to be...
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3Chi.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
On to round number three. And I'll say, this commanding general, Major General Milford Beagle Jr., is quickly becoming one of my favorite generals.
Same year.
He's the same guy that we talked about a couple of weeks ago that was on a domestic airline flight coming from an area, going back to his base, and sat next to a new private that was going to boot camp, a recruit that was going to boot camp. And he gave him some career advice while he was going there. Several things have popped up online that this guy is doing.
Oh, that was the same guy? Well.
Same guy. Yeah. This dude's awesome.
Yeah.
This is the type of guy from him and the Sergeant Major of the Army. I feel like the Army leadership right now is out and being very vocal. I wish Marines and the Air Force, Sergeant Major, Chief Master Sergeant Bass, she does the same type of thing. I wish the Marine Corps would do that. They're not. Step the fuck up, guys. What the fuck?
Yeah, he seems just very relatable and human, and at the same time,
and using common sense.
Yeah. This order that he put out, this memorandum that he put out, if you're in his command, I feel like your respect level for him goes up. This is the type of thing that'll make people run through fucking walls for you. Kate, walk us through this story.
Yeah, the commander of the Army's prestigious 10th Mountain Division wants troops to be less glued to their phones, ordering commanders and senior NCOs to lay off texting soldiers after duty hours. So basically, once you're released for the day, he doesn't want you bugging your troops anymore. Mm-hmm. He wants his formations to be careful about their reliance on phones over concerns of the constant barrage of social media and messages that are impacting troops' mental health. Major General Milford Beagle Jr., commander of the Fort Drum, New York Base Division, issued a memo barring leaders underneath him from texting or calling their subordinates before 5 a.m. or after 6 p.m.
Let's actually just fucking give an ovation for this decision. For people who aren't in, and there's a lot of jobs in the civilian sector, obviously, that require you to be near your phone or reachable at all times. But I don't think it's as bad it is in the Marine Corps, like are in the military. It's awful, like the having to figure out different things and constantly be on your phone. When I got out, I didn't carry my cell phone with me anywhere. If my wife was there with me anywhere for like a month, I was just sick of it. Getting rid of it felt so good.
There were times where like you would just be, I would be a weekend, you'd be released, you were not doing anything wrong. And there would be some text message that came out, some mass text. And if you didn't respond fast enough, you got in trouble for it. It's like, wait, what? Like, I can't get away.
And how did they operate the military before cell phones? I mean, my dad, I think that's a little different perspective that I have here because I was a military brat growing up. I remember my dad being on duty. Like whenever he was the staff duty officer of the day, he would come home and he would have to be by the phone. Nobody else was allowed to touch the phone all day. Like if you wanted to talk to your mom, you want to talk to whoever, it did not fucking matter. Mm-hmm. Dad was on duty. The phone line had to be open. Nobody could talk. And then when he wasn't on duty, he could do whatever. Like he didn't have to worry about being recalled or mm-hmm. anything like that because you didn't have cell phones. You didn't have to worry about it. How right. did we go in 15 years, essentially? How do we go from, it doesn't matter, we're going to see you on Monday at 6 o'clock and we could figure it out then, to you have to respond in 5 minutes to know that your uniform of the day has changed?
Right. It does get stressful. And so there are a couple caveats for exceptional circumstances, including situations involving the well-being of the soldier. But the memo seeks to stop soldiers from using phones during meetings and field exercises as well. Though Beagle told military.com in an interview that his intent isn't an outright ban on phones and more of a strong suggestions for troops to be weaned off their devices. And that's true too. Like, and just like it's a problem in schools, the kids are like sneaking their cell phones. You're not paying attention fully yes. to what you're learning. If you're not paying fully attention to the training you're undergoing, like as corny as it sounds, that could ultimately be a lethal thing.
And no, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You have to be paying full attention.
And I'm going to tell you, and you guys know this, like if you're in front of a formation and you can visibly see that people aren't paying attention, it's so aggravating. It's so aggravating because you just know that, okay, now I'm going to have to repeat this because PFC Snuffy wasn't paying attention. And like you said, Kate, it's just a matter of life and death. So maybe you should pay attention and get off your freaking phone looking at Twitter.
Yeah. I wonder how different commanders are dealing with this. Cons, if you were a modern commander now, what do you think your cell phone policy would be?
I would, as I've said now a few times, like when people are off of work and their free time, that's their time. Unless something is as the memo states, like really dire situation, I would say do not text your soldiers when they're not at work, unless it's immediately but then you have to be so specific, because then I think people just say like, oh, well, sir, I thought it was important. Like, no, it wasn't. You didn't need to tell him that. You could have told him that information on Monday morning. It's not a big deal. So I would say after hours, no texting, no calls, let people have their times to themselves. Because also too, in the military, we know you're already getting such a bulk of a person's day mm-hmm. that you don't need more of it. Like if you can't accomplish everything you need to from 6 a.m. until probably like 6 p.m., well, then you're doing something wrong. You need to look inward on how you could be more efficient. Because if you
what
need
about
to text
during
somebody,
the duty day, though?
Well, I think if you need something, I think that's perfectly fine, right?
No, like, I mean, what do you think about your troops being on the duty day and having their cell phones? What would your policy be?
Oh,
there?
Like carrying them?
Or carrying them, being on them during the duty day?
Oh, well, I would say if you're in any sort of formal training environment or formal meeting, zero phones. Phones are not even on the table. They're in your pocket. And anything, because anything that's urgent is going to be dealt with the people in that room, you know? So there shouldn't be an expectation that you're going to get a text that you have to frantically go do something. So I would say, I don't want to see a phone, much like I'm sure they do in schools now. It's mm-hmm. like your phone can't be out, because if your phone's out, then I've lost you.
Go ahead, Kate.
Well, I just think this will make better leaders, because he said that leaders need to figure out how to put info out to soldiers before they're released from duty. Mm-hmm. So
that's what I was
instead
just saying,
of, just okay, I'm not going to talk to you till tomorrow. Here's like three contingency plans. Bring if we're doing PT tomorrow, but also bring these four things in case it's cold, so you have it on you. And,
right.
And be sure to bring it, because you're not hearing from
Isn't
me the rest.
That fucking
yeah,
novel
just,
idea.
I think it'll make better leaders. It'll help you prepare more.
Phones have become probably a crutch. It's like, oh, I forgot to tell my guys that. Like, all right,
less issues with them TikTok and shit.
And yeah, I like to he admits, he's like, if you're checking Twitter, I do it between meetings. That's totally fine, Beagle said. So he's saying like, yeah, I'm not.
I think if I was doing it, I would have almost like a smoking lanterns lit type policy. Like whenever right. I was leading ranges and things like that, I would say, all right, we're going to do this course of fire. You guys have, if you're smoking, if you're dipping, you have 10 minutes. I would say you have the 10 minutes to be on your cell phone, smoke, dip, get a drink of water, whatever you need to do, and then come back here. Phones are away. But yeah. I also think that leadership, paying attention and knowing what's going on with your people's lives, is incredibly important. For instance, yes. if one of your people have a spouse or significant other who's having a baby, or if you have mm-hmm. a kid that's right. sick yeah. or something like that, I think that's part of a junior troop letting their leadership know about certain issues, and that senior leader understanding and valuing the humanity of their troops goes a long way.
Yeah. Too. But then that goes both ways too. That's teaching the soldiers like, hey, communicate.
Right. Cause
this one line though does stick out.
But units like this is how communication happens whenever you actually care about people.
When they feel like they're not going to get in trouble for being communicative. So, I mean, he says though, like, well, we're not saying if your wife calls, you can't take a call. It's about common sense. That's where folks get confused. I think when you're talking about common sense, that's not as common in the military as people realize. So that's why sometimes it goes the other way and it gets overly prescriptive about what you can and can't do, what is allowed to be an exception and what isn't. So I think
that's
it's
why
about a culture
commander's
change.
Intent is so important.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I just can't wait to see on US Army What the Fuck moments, the long text string about how they, from one small unit under that command, a long text string about how they shouldn't be texting each other.
Dude,
right
we
now.
See so much shit from like them, like these young lieutenants, and God bless them. They're trying their little fucking baby dicks and flaps off, like trying to get it right. But they just missed the mark so much. Like I saw one that was on US Army What the Fucks recently, where this dude sent out a group text and was like, we have formation time change from 06 to 05. You don't respond in 15 minutes, I'm going to consider you being UA. Like, okay, dude, what the fuck are you talking about?
Okay, good luck with that.
I think that's the real issue with having 21, 22-year-olds who are in charge of significant shit is they get too big for their britches real damn fast.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
But I think this is good, and I think this will spread. I think this... I do believe this will be pretty successful.
Because everybody wants it.
Spreads.
Who doesn't want it?
Right.
Unless you're a fucking washed up E8 who only drinks and has three ex-wives. Who
that's
else
a lot of
this?
Folks, though.
That is a lot. That's probably the same percentage of those that are illiterate. Probably 15%
of
the military.
Probably 15%.
Forces.
That's right. I would argue that's correct.
Good 15%. All right, let's move on to round number four. We're going to talk about Amazon and what they're doing. Because how do you guys feel? I know Kyle, our old producer, is very against like the Amazon devices, Google devices, that you have voice command because he feels like it's listening in. And there is a lot of truth to that. Like where if you're talking about something, it could show up in your cookies for like an advertisement, which our guy Nick used to do, the sneaky little fuck. Got to be careful around him. Yeah, so you have to be careful there. But this is now going where I could really see the machines are coming alive.
Yeah, this is weird. And I'm not sure how I feel about this. Amazon has revealed an experimental Alexa feature that allows the AI assistant to mimic the voices of users' dead relatives. The company demoed the feature at its annual Mars conference, showing a video in which a child asks Alexa to read a bedtime story in the voice of his dead grandmother. So this sounds lovely, but you know what it reminded me of? In Harry Potter, that magic mirror where he can go, it's like hidden in that bathroom or that closet or whatever.
It's in the library upstairs.
And it shows you the dead people, your loved ones that you can no longer be with anymore. And it's a trap. Like you can't suddenly, like you see yourself in the mirror next to your parents or whatever. And that's all you want to do with your time is stand there and see it. And it sucks you in. Like it just kind of reminds, I know that's not what would happen. But I can
see
people.
I completely think this is what happens. Like you get sucked in. I could see this leading to deep, dark depression. Like if you are missing someone, like if you're in a deep state of grief and you discover this, I could see something like this consuming your life. Like
let me play devil's advocate though. Would it consume it to the point that it does not allow you to get over it and get past it? And
could,
have closure.
Sure. But anything could, really. I mean, just
like, I can see a guy like continuing to be with his dead wife just by talking to her Alexa voice, you know, like
In this article, it shows things that technology is doing currently that even though I work in this business, I had zero idea. Let's keep going through the story.
Yeah. As you saw in this experience, instead of Alexa's voice reading the book, it's the kid's grandma's voice, said Amazon's head scientist for Alexa AI. Prasad introduced the clip by saying that adding human attributes to AI systems was increasingly important in these times of ongoing pandemic when so many of us have lost someone they love. I feel like this is weird, and I always feel like there's sinister shit behind what they're doing for some reason. While AI can't eliminate that pain of loss, it can definitely make their memories last, said Prasad. Amazon.
Have you seen those on TikTok? I'm sure cons you don't go on TikTok as much, but there are these ads where you can go and download an app and you can download a family member's portrait and it looks like they're speaking to you, like saying Merry Christmas or whatever, like giving a message.
They become animated. They become, the photos become moving. So like,
and
a photo
I'm sure
of
you've seen like the memes of George Washington singing like fucking through the window to the wall or something like that. Like that, it happens all the time now. I still think it's incredibly creepy, and I could see olds getting duped by it. Honestly, like, let's just be honest. Dude. The olds are going to get so much money stolen from them from something like this. Well,
this is how, this is the scary part. So Amazon has given no indication whether this feature will be made public, but it says its systems can learn to imitate someone's voice from just one single minute of recorded audio. So say my grandparents were still alive, rest in peace, they were a delight. But say somebody takes my voice
from... That was a ridiculous caveat. Like anybody was going to assume you were talking shit about your grandparents.
Seriously.
But say somebody takes 10 seconds of my voice from this show, and now they can make me say whatever they want, and they call my grandparents and they're asking for money. You know what I mean?
Right. My mom would give up. My mom would be like, oh, what do they need? Like if you called and you were like, you have a collect call from Matthew Cawthron, inmate number 257. You're like, oh, here we go again. And she'd be
But like, you're right. This could be used for all sorts of, although this specific application is already controversial, with users on social media calling the feature creepy and a monstrosity, such AI voice mimicry has become increasingly common in recent years. These are known as audio deepfakes, and they've already been regularly used in industries like podcasting, film and TV and video games.
What kind of podcasting budget you have where you have AI? Who is that? That must be like Big Cat.
It's actually Cons has never actually been on our show. He's an officer robot hybrid that we've created.
God, I would love to do that. If I can make Cons' script, that would be incredible.
I love my loafers and golf.
Pussy.
Many audio recording suites, for example, offer users the option to clone individual voices from their recordings. That way, if a host flubs his or her line, for example, a sound engineer can edit the way they've said things. Oh, Nick would be just... He would never be able to do anything else again, but sitting
here
correcting all his mistakes.
That's so disingenuous if you start doing that. That's just not real, obviously.
Yeah, that's being terrible. This is what makes us great.
Right,
Last year in a film, it was revealed that a documentary about the life of Chef Anthony Bourdain, who died in 2018, used AI to clone his voice in order to read quotes from emails he sent. Many fans were disgusted by the application of the technology, calling it ghoulish and deceptive. Others defended the use of technology and thought it was pretty cool. So and there's two schools of thought in this.
There really is. And there is sometimes where if you guys could control the voice of anybody, who would you use?
But control it for what purpose? In general?
It's up to you. Interpretation is part of the question.
Oh, I would make Celine Dion sing all kinds of fun stuff. My gonorrhea rap, for example.
Oh, yeah. That would be good to have a singer's voice. That would be
a good
incredible.
Singer's voice at my fingertips.
I'm trying to think of a way this could impact my marriage in a positive way. And I'm not getting anything. I don't
Dirk
know.
Diggler?
Probably if your voice just went away and you became mute. That would probably
Austin.
That would go a long way.
Nick is saying Steve Austin would be a good one. Your candy is.
I would just get stone cold. Anytime my wife says something, I just be like, what?
Who do you think is like a super rich person's voice who's very recognizable?
Oh, McConaughey.
Oprah.
Yeah, like an Oprah voice. McConaughey would be good too. I would want that just for like calling in to places that I need an answer. Like if I have to call TRICARE to get something taken
you sound
care
like
of.
Obama?
Yeah, so I could sound like a Joe. Yeah. Be like, oh, the Cawthron family not being able to get a psychiatrist for the last 3 weeks is a bunch of malarkey. Like, go ahead and figure
this out.
Until like Biden's actually gone on my behalf. That'd be awesome. I would love to do something like that.
That's a good point. That could be very useful. But it is scary to think this is, and it's, if they can figure it out, I'm sure this will just be common technology very soon. So
you know who's absolutely chomping at the bit?
Who?
Nigerian princes. Like they are. Man.
Once they get their hands on this,
hand over fist.
Those robocalls are about to be coming through from Aunt Betty. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness gracious.
Mm-hmm. And that's
all right.
Freaky.
Let's move on to round number 5, which is going to be a little bit of ZBT trivia. It's going to be presented by our good
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're going to have a little bit of trivia action. We'll go one for one. So the first question is going to go to Kate. The second question is going to go to Cons. Nick, if you could keep score and let us know at the end who is the winner, that would be great. I think we'll go through. Let's do best of 11. Want to do best of 11?
Oh, yes. All right, let's do it.
Okay, so that's really 11 questions.
I'm going to whoop ass. I'm going to whoop your candy ass. I'm calling it now.
Kate is first. The question comes to the category Air Force. Which celebrity has served in the U.S. Air Force? Is it Isaac Newton, John Wayne, Tom Cruise, or Johnny Cash?
Johnny Cash.
That is correct. One for Kate.
I have a cash myself. I know all the cash facts. Go ahead.
True. You do know a lot of cash facts. Number two for Cons. How many presidents have been part of the U.S. military? 26, 24, 29, or 21?
Oh my goodness gracious. I think I'm going to go. Oh, shoot. Shit. I'm between 24 and 21. Oh my goodness gracious. I'm going to say 21.
That is incorrect. The correct answer is 26 presidents have been a part of the U.S. military. One for Kate, one for Con. Kate, next question. Which of the following can't a Marine do while in uniform? The answers are shop, smoke cigarettes, leave their base, or put their hands in their pockets.
I'm going to say put their hands in their pockets.
That is correct. I was trying to be tricky there because you also can't leave base whenever you're wearing it, but you can be in your car.
You can be in your car. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Well done, Kate. Next up, Cons. So Kate's 2, Cons is 0. What did members of the Navy do to mark where they have been while they were serving? Number 1, phone their relatives. 2, mark their passports. 3, pick up a memento. 4, get a tattoo. Get a tattoo. That is correct. The score is 2-1. Well done, Cons. If you remember pictures from old Navy guys and ladies from the 1940s, they were constantly tattooed up. Each port that they would go in, they would find a different place and find something significant in that area. That's why you had so many people with Japanese koi fish style tattoos. Yeah.
We only have 24 hours off the ship. We got to get our tattoos and our super gonorrhea. Let's go.
And the tattoos oftentimes look like shit.
Yes.
Absolute garbage. However, one of the biggest things people say whenever you get a bunch of tattoos is like, what is that going to look like when you're old? When you're 90, like sweet. Those old World War II Navy dudes that have all the tattoos, they look fucking awesome. That's not an argument at all.
Yeah, that's great.
Maybe a tribal is a little different. I'll look like a piece of shit, but that's fine too. Yeah. Next up for Kate. Is it true or false that the Coast Guard is part of the United States military? True or false?
Well, see, I know they fall under a different department, so I'm going to say false.
The answer is true. Although they fall underneath the Department of Homeland Security, they're still considered to be honestly, Kate, a little offensive. I gotta say, maybe Cons is right and you should watch The Guardian.
They were just spinning their little helicopter around over the beach the other day. I was waving at them. I said, it's me, Kate, from ZBD.
Were they listening to Welcome to the Jungle?
They were listening to Welcome to the Jungle. They had a lady in a basket flying underneath. She was hooting and hollering. It was great.
She really was. All right. Next up for Cons. The score is 2-1 still. Mm-hmm. Next up for Cons. In what state would you find the headquarters of the Department of Defense? Would it be New York, Washington, Maryland, or Virginia?
Oh, my God. Washington as in Washington, D.C., right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Washington, D.C.
That's not a state, Cons. That's a district of Columbia. And the correct answer is Virginia.
Virginia.
It would be. Well done. So 2-1. That one's embarrassing, Cons.
I should get a point.
It was pretty bad.
I should get a point for that, quite frankly.
State. Wow. Next up, what did the military invent to eliminate the noise of clothing, Kate? Did they invent discrete air horns, Buttons, zippers, or silent Velcro?
Silent Velcro.
Silent Velcro is correct. The score is now 3-1.
They had did Velcro. A ZBT fun fact about that recently.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that. Well, well done, Kay. Next up for cons, which of the following items is included in a military survival kit? Is it condoms, a spork, cell phone, or a spoon? Which item is in a military survival kit?
Spork.
Nope.
Cons went with condoms. Spork. The correct answer is condoms. Exactly right, Kate. They are good because a condom can be used for their ability to hold water, and they could be saved in many different types of scenarios because they stretch out so big. Many people have even caught fish by putting a little piece of meat in the bottom of a condom and holding it in there, and they will catch the little fish and have something to eat. The more you know. I didn't know that part about condoms. Next up, what changed in the military in 1973? For this question is for Kate. Is it conscription, requirements, rations, or roles that women play?
Roles that women play.
That is incorrect. The correct answer is conscription because that's the end of the U.S. draft. Now it became an all-volunteer force in 1973. So people will no longer be drafted. And if they wanted to enlist, they could just do it because they their little hearts desired. And maybe they were going to get a box of donuts and a little bit of an enlistment bonus, which is lovely. It's absolutely lovely. By the way, the Army, because they're having so much trouble recruiting, and all the other branches are as well, they released a new tattoo policy, which is the first thing to go. We've mentioned it several times. When there's an active, full-scale, large-scale war going on, the military restricts the tattoo policies. They want them to look like silent professionals whenever we're going anywhere. And then when things calm down, they're like, okay, you guys can look like badasses and get as many tattoos as you want. Now the Army is allowing a tattoo behind the ear, on the wrist, and on the back of the neck. Is where they're allowing new so in order to increase. However, the DOD has said that they will not relax marijuana restrictions, which is fucking stupid. Like, if you got rid of that requirement, you and they need to get rid of that one and ADHD. Because right now, if you had been diagnosed with ADHD or ADD and you were taking medicine for it, it's almost automatically a disqualifier.
Really?
Yep.
That's ridiculous.
Get rid
I
of
do
that.
Hear they have it's that so new easy song to manage about the tattoo policy that they updated.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the Holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 this Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
What is it?
Your neck, your back, your pussy, and your crack. You can get tattoos on all those things now.
That's a good point, Kate. None of the branches of service, to include the new Space Force, have any restrictions on tattooing your pussy.
Well, that's true. Ladies?
No word yet if you can tattoo your cock or not. Consuelo? Oh.
No, I have no idea.
I think you can, depending on. Next question. Whose turn is it?
Mine.
Oh, it's concert. Is it true or false the Army was around before America became a country? True or false?
False.
That is true, Cons. You should have known that. 1775.
Wait, what are you talking about? Yeah, 1775. Yeah, that's when the Army was founded. We were around before that.
Well, you must have misunderstood the question. Is it true or false that the Army was around before America came a country? And you said false.
Yes, because it was 1775.
No take backs. No take backs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a clip from a West Point grad. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Next up, what are the warrior games, Kate? A board for night game soldiers, a wrestling match, a series of military sporting events, or a stampede?
It's military sporting events.
That is correct. I have lost count of the score. Nick,
it's me. I'm crushing it.
It is 4-1, Kate. But it doesn't matter at this point.
Yeah. And so I guess that's almost. Kate needs one more to win. Cons, this is your question. Which of the following can the military take orders from? The president, the governor, a judge, or a police officer?
The president.
The president is the correct answer. I'm so glad. If you would have got that one, I would have just done a parade.
You have me in my own head at this point that I'm like overthinking all of this stuff. Like when you asked me the state question, I was like, all right, it's either Maryland or Virginia. And then for some reason, I was like, wait, you mean Washington, D.C.? And then I thought like, oh, well, that's where the Pentagon is. And then I don't know. But actually, the Pentagon's not even in Washington, D.C. The Pentagon's in
Virginia.
Virginia.
Seems like a lot of excuses. Seems like a lot of excuses to me.
That's the same exact thing. Headquarters of the Pentagon are the same thing. Next one, Kate. What was the previous name of the Department of Defense? Is that the Department of the Treasury, Department of Overseas Affairs, the Department of Defense Relations, or the Department of War?
Department of War.
Department of War. And they needed a PR change. 5-1. An unbelievable.
5-2. 5-2.
5-2. Excuse me. I apologize. You know what? Cons there.
Let's pick another thing because I don't like this.
You want one more bonus question?
No, I want another competition because I don't like losing to Kate.
Okay. Well, Tuesday we'll do it again. We'll run it back. Yeah. I'll come up with some more questions. I think that Kate did well. I think some of the questions, obviously, the way that it came down was a little bit
curious that you gave Kate a certain amount of questions that were.
I don't know. I mean, you missed. You can't really say that my questions are hard when you thought DC was a state.
No, that one was on me. I'll take hand up. That one was on me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one was on you. All right, let's move on to safe rounds and alibis. Nicholas, we'll start with you.
Nothing for me today. Just please keep subscribing to the YouTube channel. Thank you very much. We would love it.
Yeah, because I'm tired of having to come in ways to get people to watch these YouTubes. I've been tweeting at Joe Biden. I've been tweeting at the Department of Defense. I've been tweeting at Halliburton, all kinds of people, telling them that they're fucking up. People, yesterday I wrote, last night at like 10:30, I tweeted at Joe Biden. Like, what do you have to say about this, Joe? And it was our headline. It was our headline that was like, did Joe Biden make our enemies think that we're cannon fodder because he fell off of his bike? I got so many DMs from like angry liberals that were like, you piece of shit clown. You have no idea what he's going through right now. Like, dude, I'm just trying to get these numbers up. That's it.
I'm just working on numbies.
But you got to take advantage. The day. I mean, with a bunch of followers and you have this kind of job, if you're not tweeting at the president, is that really dereliction of duty? Many people are saying it is.
Now, I get on my high horse about a lot of things on here, but the important thing to remember at the end of the day is that I'm just a piece of shit.
That's exactly right. And no, I won't say that you've been drinking dumb bitch juice because you haven't.
Well, yesterday, for sure I was.
Oh, you were?
A whole bucket of it.
I think that this is a good example of drinking in moderation, too. We started the show about an hour ago. I had two fingers. I'm down to one finger at the end of the show, over an hour. Buddy, that's moderation.
I'll be honest, I didn't even notice you drinking it.
That's how smooth it goes down.
Just doing
my friend.
Quick little sipsies. Just quick little sips. Gonna take another one.
Little loop Friday episode.
That's exactly right. Whistle pig. All right, Cons, what's your save round, pal?
Number one.
Wait, before you get yours, I want to say I need credit. I've been unbelievably nice to Cons this episode.
He has. I was almost when you said you enjoyed his trip. His honeymoon.
I was shocked by that, but I think that's more because of Alex.
I gotta say, it's gotta be my antidepressants, right? I'm fucking glow.
Oh yeah. I gotta tell you, there is a vibe. Mm-hmm. It's like a fluffy little cloud.
Could be the Wellbutrin. Maybe it's a combination of the two. Hard to say. All right, Cons, go ahead.
Yeah, shout out to Andre Carter, Army football player who was named preseason All-American. Haven't had one of those.
That is huge. That's awesome. When's the last time that's happened?
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah. UTSA doesn't have any, by the way.
Yeah. The Army might change their fitness standards again. And at this point, I don't know. You know, it's kind of like,
I don't even want to update people when they're doing this. I would prefer, we're going to update you when they have something set in stone. That's it.
Yeah.
Cons?
Yes. Sorry. And then lastly, can you guys, and maybe you can't, explain with the PACT Act? So, like, nothing's, you know, I'll use myself as an example. Nothing's wrong with me right now. Mm-hmm. But no. I was, that's subjective. I was exposed to burn pits and everything. And who's to say that there's not something going on inside of my body right now that will ultimately negatively affect me? So how does that work?
I think
From what I understand, and Kate, correct me if you understand something different. From what I understand, they'll be able to look at essentially your service record book and the different locations that you are at and find essentially hot spots of locations of where people were experiencing different issues. And if you're going in there and you're exhibiting the symptoms that are covered underneath the PACAT, it's automatically going to apply to you as well.
It's going to be a lot easier if you have problems in the future to get help for it.
Because before you'd be like, oh, I have asthma. And they're like, well, maybe you're just going to develop it. Now, if you're experiencing sign of asthma or lung related issues, the assumption is going to be that it's due to burn pits instead of you having to prove definitively that it was.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. That's very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is great. I think it's the right move. And it reduces, even though it could end up being more expensive for the government, it increases the likelihood that veterans who need that care will be able to get it timely because they won't have to wait so long for that process. The more things that we can make automatic, like I think that the enrollment in the VA should be automatic. There should be nothing that a service member has to do. You get your DD-214, you're enrolled in the VA, period, full stop. And what my wife is doing right now, legislation that my wife is helping draft and is working with several senators and getting it added to the PAC Act or having different legislation, they want to increase the level of veterans who are able to be seen at the VA. Mm-hmm. Because right now, unless your service-connected disability directly impacts that illness that you have, you aren't able to be seen at the VA unless you're 100% disabled for all those different things. Well, what they're trying to do, and they've demonstrated it through the data, is that having more veterans covered under the VA actually will reduce the amount that the VA is paying out, because the VA, if it is service connected and you had to go to the emergency room, they're paying those emergent care costs instead of paying just regular insurance costs, which is going to save, from the calculations that my brilliant ass wife has done, it could save as much as $50 billion a year as far as VA care goes, which is
insane. That's a line.
Yeah. Shout out to my super smart wife. Maybe one day I'll have her on to talk about it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
What she's doing. So I would say that she's impacting healthcare far more than anything that I've ever done. And it's pretty remarkable I go upstairs all the time and she's on these fucking meetings all the time with like different politicians. Like,
they sound
and
smart.
Shit like that. I'm like, this bitch fucking smart, man. Yeah, she smart lets me see bitch. Them fangs. It's awesome. Yeah. What else, Kynes? Anything?
That's it. That's all I got.
Katie?
Nothing for me. No, that's it.
Okay, I don't have much either. I will say that I am very excited for Kate to be back full time. I've been excited for Barstool Idol. Lots of great things happening in the Barstool world. Make sure that you're going to buy our merch. We're wearing a new shirt today again.
Oh yeah,
the blue one. Make sure that you're hitting up our merch.
I'm wearing greenie again.
There you go. I can't wear green on the podcast anymore.
Too red. I
don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. Other than that, we'll see you guys back here on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everybody. You fucking deserve it. It's on the retreat.